Are you good? The appropriate muse is playing. Right now it's Saturday, May 12th, the day before Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It's just Eric again. I think we're going to round up Eric D and the fam. Demetrius, Demarius, Philip. We are tentatively scheduled to come together to knock out and do what we do Monday night. Before we get to today's topic, I don't anticipate this being a very lengthy podcast. Just have one thing or so to really get to. A couple of things to tip you on. First, but even before that, thank you for coming out to the NAMI walk just minutes or so ago. It was a fantastic turnout at UTMC. On Monday, when I checked the weather forecast, it looked like sunny and 80. Wednesday, it began to go in the other direction, and it looked like storms. Gray, cloudy Saturday morning, storms in the afternoon. Okay, we can manage that. The NAMI Walk, it's the biggest fundraiser of the year, and when we raise all that money, we're trying to get to $110,000. I think we'll do it, and that helps keep so many of the services at NAMI free. By Thursday and Friday, the weather had just, it looked like it was going to be a washout this morning. I woke up this morning, looked outside, expected to hear thunder and see lightning and see a downpour, and thought the whole thing was going to be washed out, but nothing. And I check my weather app and I see no chance of rain or a chance, like a 50% chance of rain this morning. So thank you for fighting off what's the chilly weather and an overall kind of a crummy mid-May day for coming out and making the NAMI walk, at least in my opinion, a success. I put more effort and time, because I had it, I put more effort and time into helping promote this walk than any other charitable effort I've ever done in my life, because I've had the time and I enjoy it. And I want to continue to spread the message and beat the stigma and get you to talk about certain things that are uncomfortable for many. They are comfortable for me. What's that line I'd like to say? Your purpose in life is to find your meat. I had this line and I forget what it was. The meaning of life is to find your purpose. The purpose in life is to give it, something like that. I forget. It was in my TED talk and it was a great line. And I think and live by it. I just can't regurgitate it at the current moment. So thank you for, at least in my opinion, making the NAMI walk amid some lousy weather a big success. We had tons of people out at UTMC. And again, I think we're going to break $110,000, which was the goal. A couple of other things to get to before we talk about a real weakness of mine. I talk about impatience or patience, however you want to look at it. But there's something else that arose in my mind that I want to share. Two things coming up on the 18th and then the 20th. On the 18th at Sophia Quintero Arts and Cultural Center, Squawk, on Broadway, we have this very miniature Hispanic community. There's a Mexican restaurant across the street on Broadway, which is, I have not eaten there, but everyone tells me it's absolutely delicious. We have this tiny little Hispanic and Latin community right there. And Squawk is the epicenter of all that. On the 18th, it's called Entre Amigos. And I am a mozo. I'm a celebrity waiter. Please come out. There are Latin dishes. I believe it's $30 for adults. There will be a cash bar. There will be some art to explore. And you can enjoy. I think we're going to have some better weather. You can see what Squawk is all about, including garden, ask about the bees that they have and why that's important for the community. But I want to help my friend Elizabeth out. But to me, what the draw would be if I were going to go to this is the food offered are different dishes and selections from many different Latin American countries. And I don't know what the specific dishes are or what the specific countries are, but I'm thinking Central American places, Belize and Guatemala, Panama, and then in South America. So there is your idea. If you want to give that a Google, those will be the potential food options for Entre Amigos at Sofia Quintero, May 18th. Then on the 20th, this will be my fourth Toledo soup, my second as a volunteer board member, I guess we'll call it. My friend from the past will be joining me as usual to co-host this event. We already have our presenters. They are good community ideas. Four people will present, and then you pay $5 for soup, bread, and salad. You listen to these ideas, and then you vote which one you'd like to win the micro grant, which is up to $1,500. It will be on the roof. So again, root for good weather for us for May 20th from 4 to 6. Toledo Soup will be on the roof of the downtown branch of Lucas County Library, which will be closing, I believe, sometime after Labor Day. So join us for Toledo Soup if you could. It's a neat event. It is, again, micro grants for good community ideas. The most recent winner, Herbaceous Greenhouse, Mike Sheaver, local organic herbs and spices that he's going to be providing to consumers and mostly, I think, restaurants. Mike's going to be a billionaire one day because I think he's the only one doing that in this country. And we have him right here. I think his greenhouse is off of Hill Road. So the 18th and the 20th. The thing, Happy Mother's Day. My mom is not around, but I say Happy Mother's Day to you. A couple of things I wanted to get to. I guess I should start with, I'll skip the birthday stuff. It was my birthday on May 9th, but I don't really celebrate my birthday. I've been over this over and over again. It has nothing to do with getting close to 40. It has nothing to do with age. It's just the fact that it's like any other day for me. Every day, I have a goal, and I don't always succeed in it. And this will tie to the other thing that I want to get to. I want to wake up, and then I want to go to sleep. Hours later, I want to go to sleep a little smarter, a little wiser, a little brighter, a little better of a person than when I woke up earlier in the morning. And I don't need a birthday to do that. That is my goal each and every day. Some days I accomplish it, some days I don't. But that's my general ethos in life, aside from some other tenets I live by being compassionate and loyal to friends and family and coworkers. I want to go to bed a little better of a person than I woke up. And if I get really black and white and really literal and logical, every day is a birthday. And I know that it's, you know, one rotation around the sun with that day, even down to the time when you were born. But to me, every day is an opportunity for a birthday. And that's why I say Mother's Day is the same thing. Every day is Mother's Day. And yes, there is one day, and it's great that moms have it, dads have it, that there's one day where you really shut everything down and do everything for mom. But I think you could, if you wanted, to do that every day. And I know, because our schedules are tight, we all need extra hours in the day, we have to work, we've got families and friends and jobs to take care of, and we can say things to the people that we love, whether it's a birthday or a parent or a grandparent or whoever. We can share our feelings and thoughts on any day. But when Mother's Day comes around, it really is like 100%. 24/7, around the clock, that whole day, all about mom. But you can. Don't let that stop you. And I don't think it does. Don't let that stop you from sharing those same sentiments the other 364 days around the year. Although Darlene on my Facebook page did point something out quite sage. And I like to say that I know a lot. I don't know everything, but I know a lot. The rest I look up. She pointed out how a birthday is often for others who care about you to acknowledge you being in their life. Made a lot of sense. She really put in some good words when she posted that comment on my Facebook page. And sometimes that's really helpful for me to see, because I get stuck in my own little world, as we all do. And so while I don't want to acknowledge my birthday, Darlene pointed out that other people who care about me might want to acknowledge my birthday. So, just not something that I live by. And this doesn't mean that I shun other people's birthdays. If it's your birthday, I will share some thoughts to you. So, thanks to Darlene for doing that and giving me another perspective. Like I said, I might come off as aloof and arrogant and filled with hubris. aloof is probably the best way. I swear to God, I don't actually think I know everything, even though I may come off that way. I know a lot, like I said. The rest I'll just look up, but I do welcome other sage and wise perspectives. That leads me to what I really wanted to talk about today, and I was going to write this up. I was driving up to Detroit to help out a radio station up there, also in the Cumulus Cluster. Look at that. Look at that. Sorry for having my phone go on there. I was helping out 96.3 WDVD up in Detroit. I used to work in that building a long, long time ago. That's where I basically started my on-air radio career. And I was listening to a podcast about Westworld. Now, I'm not going to dig too deep into that show. There could kind of be some spoilers here, but this goes, not spoilers, it's more like theorizing. But if it's spoilery, hopefully you're all caught up. It's a wonderful show. There's a lot of comparisons to Lost, and it comes from, I guess, J.J. Abrams is the executive producer. Jonathan Nolan, brother of Christopher Nolan, who has done some mind-bending movies. He's one of the producers as well, along with a woman named Lisa Joy. And it might be my favorite show on television right now. A lot of people had pegged it as the successor of Game of Thrones as it wraps up on HBO. So there's the preface. I'm listening to I like to watch the show Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and then I really enjoy, maybe even more than watching the show, listening to discussion about it, breaking it down, kind of like you'd watch a football game, and then you watch the post game and see why players did this or why that fumble happened, or just any kind of post game analysis. There's the same kind of thing, whether it's a podcast, some kind of online Twitter cast, a live Twitter, a Facebook Live, or lots of articles that are written and published after the episodes. And lots of shows do this, but I hone in on Westworld with this specifically because there's so much drill down into it. There's so many layers. And again, I guess the best comparison that most people can relate it to are Lost, where there were so many theories. And were they dead the whole time? And something about the hatch? And who are these people? And what do they symbolize? And that's kind of what I wanted to dig into. I have a couple of weaknesses. One of them is patience or impatience. I'm always doing things quickly and I can't slow down. But patience and impatience, however way you want to put it, that's a weakness of mine. And I like to think that it is a strength to know my weakness. I know I'm impatient. I know I lack patience in certain instances, but at least I know it so I can manage it to the best. I can't get rid of it like Superman. Dude is slayed by kryptonite. So that he knows that, but it's a strength knowing that kryptonite is his weakness. So he's got to do whatever he can to avoid it at all costs. Stay away from the kryptonite. I have to do my best to at least be as cognizant as possible when I put myself in situations. The best example is I am chronically early. So oftentimes, I will show up places. If I have to be somewhere at 1 o'clock, I'll get there at quarter of. Sit and hang out on my phone. But then if you're a couple of minutes late, let's say you're going to be there at 1:10. Well, now that's like a 25, almost a half an hour long wait for me. I've got to calm my impatience down and go, hold on, you showed up early. You knew this could possibly happen, so just chill out. And I've got to dial back my impatience and not be frustrated at you for being a couple of minutes late while I was really early. Hopefully that makes sense. So I think when you have a weakness and you know it, you might not be able to overcome it, but you can mitigate it. So it is a strength to know your weakness. Another educational weakness, I suppose, of mine, going back to, I was in a lot of AP and honor classes in school. Never math, but history, English, science. I think those were all AP and honor classes, never math. I was very basic at math, and I don't think I have, once I was done Algebra 2, I never got to trigonometry. My math sucked. And for as skilled as I was at history and pretty good at science and a lot of things with English and language arts, I always blanked on symbolism. I think even as the curriculum for schools is constantly changing in Common Core, I think it's still part of whatever middle school, high school, where you read novels, popular novels, and Shakespeare, The Wuthering Heights, Scarlet Letter, Animal House, Fahrenheit 451, which is an HBO show coming in. All these legendary pieces of literature. All the Charles Dickens novels. Great Expectations. I think I was supposed to read all of these. And I know there was Cliff Notes, and then there's now Spark Notes. But when my English teachers would talk about the symbolism of what was going on in these novels, I never understood it. For as observant as I am, usually as in a visual instance, like I could be a good Sherlock Holmes. I can investigate things that I can see with my eyes or listen to or use my senses for. When it comes to reading books and decoding or watching TV shows and decoding the symbolism, the parallels, the real life parallels as what's being written about, or what a show or a movie is about, 90% of the time it goes way over my head. Way over. So I'm terrible with symbolism. That was always a weakness of mine, and it really struck me down when I was learning, and I had to go, here's what you're reading, and I need to talk about it in some kind of report or a paper that I was writing. And as I got older, and I would read articles or whatnot about TV shows and things that I would enjoy watching, and have to deal with the symbolism of that, I'd be like, oh, I would feel like I was back in middle school and high school and having to read these things. So to tie this into Westworld, nobody ever wants to feel dumb. But with Westworld, there's so much imagery and symbolism. And I guess unless you're some kind of English major, you're going to miss a lot of the quotes that have been used by famous authors or writers over time. Long ago, as recently as like the 20th century, I take things at face value in a very literal sense, but I know with a show like Westworld, there's a lot of symbolism involved. And again, nobody ever wants to feel dumb, especially somebody like myself, who I will personally label myself as pretty intelligent. And again, I hope you don't take that as too arrogant, but again, I try to wake up every morning, learn something, and be a better person each day. Be a little bit better a human being when you go to sleep than when you woke up. So I do strive to be smarter, whether it's emotionally, psychologically, or just intelligence, each and every day. So I truly have met a mental match with Westworld. I'm listening to this podcast driving up to Detroit, and they're breaking down the host for and it's on The Ringer. I think it's called The Rewatchables. And there's a couple of different versions. The night or the morning after the show, they just kind of review it, talk about it. And then I think there's another one where they talk about, there's another podcast they do Tuesdays where they break down potential theories, which people on Reddit can predict these shows, whether it be Game of Thrones or in this case, Westworld, maybe long ago Lost. And they're breaking down these theories. This is the podcast I was listening to driving to Detroit. And they're talking about how some spoiler stuff here. And it takes a lot to wow me. I don't get surprised often. Maybe it's because I'm too darn cynical, or I read up on so much stuff. It's just like, yeah, I was kind of expecting that. Like with Avengers, Infinity War, I was familiar with the comic. So the fact that half of everything in the universe died, I was like, yeah, it's kind of what I expected. Cool. It takes a lot to make me go, holy shit. But listening to this podcast and hearing them recount theories from Reddit, for instance, Westworld, the TV show, is based off of the movie Westworld from the 70s, just the movie. Michael Crichton is the one who I think wrote the book. Michael Crichton is also the writer of many other novels. What, maybe his most famous work? And this is one that I should have figured out, and I might have been able to decode on my own had I paid a little bit more attention to the Michael Crichton connection. So Westworld, it's about a park where people go without laws, without limits. There's sex and violence, and there are no laws at all. Humans can run wild. What other park can people... There's another book that Michael Crichton wrote where people can do something like this and live fantasies. What is it? Jurassic Park. So one of the theories, and this is the one where I really kind of kicked myself on, they talked about how, what if one of the other parks in Westworld, and there's six of them, they just introduced Raj World, which is like colonial India, where people can live that lifestyle and go big game hunting for tigers and ride on elephants. There's also Shogun World or Samurai World, that kind of speaks for itself, but there's several other parks. Somebody suggested, what if Jurassic Park is somehow loosely connected to this? I'm like, what? Holy shit, mind blown. And there's other theories as well, how questions from this past week's episode was, there is an Indian tribe in Westworld, Ghost Nation, and two people disappeared last season. One of them has come back. The other person has not been on the show yet, but she was on the press tour. The other guy who disappeared was safe. Both of these people seemingly have Ghost Nation connections. This past week's show, Ghost Nation wanted another human as opposed to a host, but the host said, no, we're keeping him. The host, we're protecting this human because this Ghost Nation tribe looks like, they look like savage killers. But there's a theory that they are protecting the humans, and the one girl that disappeared reprogrammed those hosts to protect humans who are in peril in the park. Now, if you don't watch the show, none of this makes any sense. But the point being, it is just my intellectual equal. And this doesn't even address the real life symbolism of what the producers are trying to say. Hey, here's our way of telling a story of a movie from long ago in contemporary times, and we're trying to get our point across that it's blank. Some people believe the theme overall of the show, or at least this season, ties into Facebook and big data and how it's used against us and when our information is out there and privacy and all those things. People think that people are going to this Westworld. Their DNA is being taken. Everything they do that's evil and sinister and rape and murder and killing and all these awful things they commit. The park is collecting it. This company, Delos, who runs Westworld, is collecting it to use that data to blackmail these really 1% rich people in the world, and who knows for what, but they will blackmail them. That's why they're collecting that data. And there's the real life parallel for what's going on with Facebook and how our data is used for good and for maybe bad. That was some symbolism that I was able to grasp. But some of these theories, and I watched the show intently, but I could never be one of these people on Reddit, and I am not making fun of them. I am bowing down to them as intellectual theorizing gods. There's stuff I know. Like when I go see Avengers Infinity War and go, I know what's going to happen because I've read the comics. But some of these theories with TV shows or movies and the symbolism, I am in awe. For instance, with Avengers Infinity War, people theorizing the one stone, where it will come from and predicting where it will happen. Like, I think I'm a pretty smart person. I'm fairly well-read, especially on the things that I like. But there is an internet subculture. And again, I am not making fun. This is not me going, people living in their mom's basement, never having sex, never getting dressed, being fat and overweight and eating. No way. I am lauding these people who can decode and theorize these high-level puzzles that people like J.J. Abrams and other producers, Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy with Westworld, can put out there, and they almost cater the show to these people. And in some cases, when these Reddit people figure things out, the producers have to make an adjustment. They've got to call an audible because the Reddit people have predicted it. So they are truly, they're in an intellectual place where I wish I could be. and I don't necessarily think I have the time to do that, or the attention to detail. That's another weakness of mine. I like to think high level and creative, and here's my plan, and let someone else handle the details of it. So again, knowing my weakness of I'm not good with nitty-gritty details, but I can come up with big, overarching, creative, innovative ideas. The strength to know my weakness, that I'm impatient and I'm poor with details, and I have a fault when it comes to decoding symbolism or theorizing at certain high levels. Those are my weaknesses. I think knowing them is a strength. And again, if you are one of these people who can decode and predict and come up with these brilliant needle in an ocean of needles theories, I take my hat off to you. Thanks for listening. I think we're going to get everybody together, Eric D and the fam, Monday night. Happy Mother's Day. Celebrate every day like Mother's Day. Celebrate every day like it's your birthday.